You're tuned into the all-new Freedom 106.5. 106.5.
Oscar, how are you?
I am good. Good morning. Welcome.
Thank you. It's so great to be here.
So tell me a little bit about yourself. I mean, we realize that you are a creative, dedicated creative, literally enthusiast. Literary enthusiast. Your background is in arts, writing, the literatures, as they call it. What about literature that you like so much? What made you decide, well, yeah, this is the space for me?
I wanted to be totally honest. When I finished A-levels, I wanted to do journalism. Mm-hmm. But journalism wasn't in Trinidad as yet. So I said, what is the next best thing? And literature was available at UE, and I enrolled, and I was accepted, and the rest is history.
And from
that,
the,
make it sound bad, but I mean,
short and sweet,
was my first love. Yeah,
writing wasn't your first love?
No, yes, it was.
Oh, okay.
Writing, yes.
Now tell me, if it is that you didn't get to do this, what would have been the alternative? What would have been plan B?
I liked psychology.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that might have been my plan B. I would have worked hard to be accepted into that faculty.
Okay. And you worked a lot in human resource management, communications, etc. Is it any different or very different from, let's say, communications and writing?
Yes, completely different. HR is a discipline that is, it's just analytics and policy and following orders, whereas creatives are able to breathe, they're able to think independently and follow through it, what their emotions fuel, what they do every day. So I could wake up every day and do something completely different,
mm-hmm,
based on how I feel.
And with HR, it's more structured, a little more, confining.
Yes.
Not to say that people who in HR are bad people. Eh? We're just saying that the freedom of movement is what creatives really like more than anything. So you're saying
we
that
got a bad rap in HR.
We give HR plenty problems, it seems. So
yeah.
In understanding how your journey started to where it is now, how many books have you done already?
I have done 4 books.
4 books. And the names of it, is it strictly in literature, meaning different genres like fantasy, writing from experiences, or is it more structured? Because I do see that you talk about, you know, knowing self and expressing self. Tell me a little bit about the different topics you've touched on.
Okay, so the first book is Thinking Out Loud.
Mm-hmm.
Right? That is a collection of articles, or as they say now in the United States of America, essays,
mm-hmm,
you know? So it's a collection of essays, philosophically based, motivationally based. It was previously published in the Woman's Express 10 years ago. I used to contribute to the Woman's Express.
Mm-hmm.
It's about getting older. It's about life purpose. Fruits of Our Labor talks about, you know, finding the perfect job that is not just a reflection of your qualifications, but a reflection of what you are meant to be in this world. It's about family, it's about friendship, it's about holidays. That's the first book, Thinking Out Loud.
Mm-hmm.
The second one is a memoir of my professional journey over a 6-year period. So it's about that transition when I wanted to get out of HR because I felt boxed. I know I was very grateful for the job. It was a great opportunity. But at the end of the day, how you feel every day in the morning impacts, you know,
every aspect
of your life.
Yeah.
You know? So I had to follow through with this passion that I was feeling. And I transitioned into a job in Tobago, where it was more creative in marketing and communications. I was a research and communications officer. And then after that, I transitioned into entrepreneurship. I gave that a try for a few years, and then now I'm just a plain old writer. I'm a content writer. I write bios. I write website copy. I do workshops. I want to get back into workshops and mm-hmm. things like that. More creative stuff.
Now, you just mentioned the doing more, what I would call, would you call it, let me first ask you this, would you call it vlogging? Would you call it influencer type work? Have you started that? And how different is it from, let's say, when we, I shouldn't say we, but when you started the 10 years ago in the field of human resource management? How different are the two right now? Or what is the difference?
Okay, I don't do vlogging. I would not say I'm an influencer.
Mm-hmm.
But I write based on things that happen around me. So the inspiration may come from simple things. You know, it may come from a conversation I had with my sister, or a conversation I had with a friend, or a conversation I had with my mother years ago when she was alive. And then this small thing transforms into a talking point that can heal somebody else. So HR, that was, I left in 2012.
Mm-hmm.
I would say that what I'm doing now has completely transformed my life, basically. Going to Tobago transformed my life. Coming back here, having these experiences, I met business owners. I did articles on them that taught me so much outside of a classroom, you know, and those experiences were just priceless.
So understanding the entrepreneurship side of business, were you at all afraid to give up the, as they say, the secure job, the solid, quote-unquote, 9-to-5? To step into entrepreneurship? And from what I'm getting, you left Trinidad to go to Tobago. Was it by yourself or did you?
Yeah, I went by myself.
Yeah, yeah. What was that like?
Well, I had a brother over there. My brother still lives over there. My brother was over there, but he was doing his own thing and he was in a totally different part of the island to me.
Mm.
So I was alone for the most part, but he came, we kept in touch and we met up and he came to check me at certain points. But I was on my own. I had my own car, I had my own job, I was responsible for myself.
Mm-hmm.
I would say the transition for me was fairly easy. I lived in Mason Hall and I worked in Mount St. George. And just the landscape alone, you wake up every morning, you drive through, you see any ocean on one side.
Mm-hmm.
It was totally amazing. The work that I did, I dealt with students, I dealt a little bit with hospitality and tourism. I went to the hotels, I did stuff there. I did stakeholder visits. It was a wonderful experience. I met people, Trinidadians living in Tobago for a few years, who gave me advice into in terms of what to do next with my life.
Mm-hmm.
And those were pivotal moments, that turning points, as we say.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
In terms of how you write, because you do say that you find inspiration in different places, and I guess passions would go into that as well. How do you translate what you see from your muse, let's say, into pieces that move others to be inspired to do new things?
I draw on all my experiences, not just that one isolated muse.
Mm-hmm.
So based on different conversations I would have with people who this would have affected, I just bring everything together. When I sit down to write, the words just flow. It's really a gift that I am grateful for every single day of my life. Mm-hmm. Because I know writing doesn't come easily to some people.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so I just sit down to write and it flows most times, 98% of the time it flows. And then I look at it and I'm like, Oh my goodness. I can't believe I just wrote this.
All right, so we're going to take a short break, and when we come back, we want to ask you, how do you deal with writer's block? And then we talk about the new book, and we'll talk about the title as well. Yeah?
There are two more books I didn't mention. I forgot about that. Sorry.
Well, don't worry. We will get to that right after the break. Stay tuned.
You're tuned into the all-new Freedom 106.5.
Welcome back. Oh, just a note. Miss Carolyn does have experience in classical piano with the Royal School of Music. So how does music factor in into how you write? Now, going back, let's first deal with how you deal with writer's block. If it is that there's ever been a time where you sat down to write, as you said, and everything comes, but you're looking at the screen and nothing is coming. How do you deal with that?
How do I deal with that?
Mm-hmm.
Well, first, you don't force it. You don't try to sit and say, oh my God, I need to write 10,000 words now. Maybe it could be as simple as changing up your position. So like if you're sitting down, stand up, go by the door, look at the flowers, look at the plants, stretch, go to another room. You know, sometimes you may have to, well, I no longer drive, but I used to drive. I sold my car. Jump in your car and go to the seaside in the middle of the week. And not everybody may have that privilege to do that. But if you do, it's a great way to clear your head and just be at one with nature and, you know, just enjoy the moment. It can be as simple as watching a movie and then you return to your center. Prayer work, you know, take a moment to thank God for this gift that you have and for being able to impart it with other people. And, you know, eventually the block clears.
Now, the thing is, you said that you're still in Tobago, yes?
No. I came back in 2014 because my dad was ill. So I took that time to finish writing my memoir and to be closer to him. And it was a very fortuitous decision because he passed away at the end of 2014. So I had that entire year to spend with him at home.
And condolences to you and your family. The thing is, I was now about to say, well, Tobago is a space where inspiration comes as natural as the flora and fauna, because Tobago is just beautiful, you know?
Yes,
and you just have to be still in a space with so much green and calmness that, you know, everything comes to you. Now, your latest...
No vagrants, no pollution. It's so peaceful and wonderful. And beaches, you know.
Yeah, I mean, in half an hour, 45 minutes, you could step out of your hotel or your B&B or wherever you are and get to a beach, you know.
Yeah.
The thing is, I wanted to find out too. Well, I'm going to say the people are great as well, are hospitality on board.
Yeah, they are.
Your latest book is called, let me get the full title here. It says, She Missed the Boat on Love. How did that come about?
Yes, I have since rebranded that book. So it's now Things We Never Said. Right, so that was the first edition, and I did a second edition. You know, with the advent of technology, you could do anything in a matter of weeks or minutes based on your proficiency. So I thought that book, it was getting kind of dated, so I decided to change the cover and just revamp it.
Okay, and what direction were you going with that story? Meaning, what inspired it?
How do I say this?
Without giving away too much on the book, but yeah. Was it personal experience? Was it?
Yeah, there are certain experiences that didn't work out the way I would have planned it.
Mm-hmm.
And I had all this emotion inside and it was unexpected. Right? You know, sometimes you like somebody, but you don't like somebody intensely. It's not love, but you didn't realize until after the fact how much this person meant to you. So I came back from a stint, in my stint in Tobago, I met someone over there, mm-hmm. a Trinidadian guy. I'm not prejudiced against Tobagoans. Tobagoans are beautiful, wonderful people.
Mm-hmm.
And they really catapulted my career, the next career move. And it was only after I left I realized, oh my gosh. You know, so I had all these emotions inside, and I wrote this poetry, and then I came back here, I met somebody else, and then I had more emotions, and I wrote more poetry, and I sent it to a few of my friends as beta readers, test readers,
mm-hmm.
and no matter what age they were, they said, Carolyn, you know, this is really good, you should publish this, because it could probably help people. And I said, really? You think it's good? You know, because mm-hmm. I always doubt myself, I don't know why I do that, I have this weird habit. Certain things I doubt, but certain things I know, you know, it's like amazing mm-hmm. from the get-go. That's a ring my bell, but yeah, and I publish it. I put it up on Amazon and CreateSpace at the time, and yeah, the rest of this is history. And even if it's not, it doesn't make a big impact. I don't know if other authors and writers feel this way, but once your work is out there in the public domain, I mean, especially on Amazon, where it could be there for years and years and years, you know it's out there. If you're not hoarding it, it's not inside. Even mm-hmm. if it doesn't make a lot of sales, you know that your work is available to help other people. So mm-hmm. I mean, that's my philosophy behind it, behind publishing and stuff.
And you said that there's another book besides this one that you're working on. Go ahead.
The fourth one is Seasons of the Heart. It's a collection of romantic short stories.
Mm-hmm.
Sorry to interrupt, but
is it easier to write short stories and poems than to, let's say, a novel?
Definitely. So what? Let me tell you how this one started.
Mm-hmm.
I prefer memoirs, of course. I am working on a second memoir, which will be my fifth book, which should be available sometime next year, right? If all goes as planned. But the memoirs take a lot more, it's emotionally charged, you know? So it takes a lot out of you. You have to take rest, you have to pace yourself, you have to get proper proofreading and editing and beta readers and, you know. And with Seasons of the Heart, I wrote the short story and I entered it into a competition. It was a Commonwealth, for a Commonwealth Prize. And I didn't get selected, so one of my friends read it and she's like, this is really good, you know. So she's like, any minute now you could be the next best-selling author. You could be the Gabrielle. There's this famous author she liked. And I just put together, I started writing more of them just to get my whatever I was feeling at the time out. And I just published it. I used AI, actually. So I'm changing with the times. I used Ooh. AI just to get this body of work out.
So now I'm piquing interest here. Now, what is your opinion on AI as it strictly relates to the imaginative process, writers? Because there is the conversation by some writers that it seems that AI would take away from the beauty that is the creative part. You know, how you feel about AI?
Well, initially, one of my friends, he works in the Ministry of AI, and he teases me all the time because in the beginning I was totally against AI.
Mm-hmm.
And he's like, Carolyn, this is the same person. You are the same person. So I honestly agree with it. It will take away from the creative aspect, but not if you know how to use it properly. It's been a year now since I'm using AI,
mm-hmm.
and how I use it in the beginning is totally different from how I use it now. You have to know your subject. You have to be an expert within your own realm in order to use AI efficiently. Mm-hmm. Otherwise, AI will be using you. So if it is, you know that you have a limited amount of time for a particular project, or this is not your sole passion, right?
Mm-hmm.
You can implement AI to help you move it along faster. That is one of the ways I use it. But if you know that you have time and you can devote eons of time to perfect this creative work of art, well, then you would be less dependent on AI.
Mm-hmm. The thing is, I'm trying to understand what AI tools. Okay, so probably this is the better question. What AI tools would you apply to writing? Because the whole idea. So let's describe how, I guess, some people would see, or as a matter of fact, people listening, 3061065, tell me how you think that AI is being used where writing is concerned, because I immediately think of plagiarism. I immediately think of probably this sounding a little too much like other writers. Is it strictly to write content, or is it to, let's say, manage the book in terms of placement, design of the book, kind of thing, choosing fonts? Because, like I said, when you hear AI, you automatically think, well, where do you get your material from? Is it the source, a credible source?
Okay, so in my case, if I want to do a second edition, right?
Mm-hmm.
All I have to do is copy and paste a chapter of my existing book into ChatGPT or Claude. And then you have to guide AI. You have to tell it what you want to do with this chapter.
Mm-hmm.
Is it that you just want it proofread, but it would have been proofread already if it's published? Do you want it to come up in Amazon searches? Do you want it to come up in SEO search engines? Do you want it to connect with entrepreneurs? Do you want it to connect with single mothers? Do you want it to connect with victims of suicide? What do you want ChatGPT to do? So you have to know what you're telling it.
Mm-hmm.
You're not going to tell it to rewrite it totally or write it from scratch. I don't use it in that regard, to write something from scratch. You have to have an idea of what you want to see. And even if they do a draft, you could ask them to do a draft, but you have to have your outline of what you want to see in the book, right? You can't let a machine write a book for you, then you're not an author. Mm-hmm. You're not a writer,
mm-hmm.
right? So you have an outline in mind. This is what I want to see. Maybe your thoughts are scattered, right? And you just want you want it to flow and you want it to be poetic. You could actually tell it that. Write this in a poetic way. Write this in a metaphoric way. Write this in an analytical way. And ChatGPT will do it, right? Mm-hmm. And then when it comes back now, you need to be happy with what it came back with. Because then you would have more work. You would have to rewrite it all over in your words.
Mm-hmm.
You could even, what you could do also, say for example, you have a blog or you have a body of work. You put a link into ChatGPT or Claude. I recently started using Claude. I was introduced to Claude maybe 2-3 weeks ago.
Mm-hmm.
You could put a link and say, could you rewrite this piece of work, or could you write a draft in my tone? And it would take your link to your blog or your body of work, and it will emulate exactly how you write. Isn't that amazing?
That's scary. Honestly, I think it's a little scary. Some may think it's fascinating to others, but I don't know.
It was scary for me in the beginning, too. But
right.
When you realize time is against you, you have so much time during the day to eat, to bathe, to prepare food, to do chores, to go to work, to make money.
Mm-hmm.
And if you could use technology in the right way, it could lessen your load a bit. But, I mean, everybody is different.
Yeah, I hear you. Now, the thing is,
I would love to write another book the old traditional way that I did. It took me 6 years or more to write the memoir that I wrote.
The thing is, I understand, because I'm thinking of writers like Ernest Hemingway and, you know, those who are from that era and even further forward, how they would feel about this particular program that really doesn't have a human consciousness or understanding of what paper smells like or what a pen feels in your hand, that kind of thing, to come up with these scenarios and stories that, yes, it may be in your tone, but still the essence of the human experience. So I find it very dehumanizing, if that's the right word, to use programs like that. Now, I understand the other uses of it. So if it is that you want to promote the book, you know, the hashtag thing, finding the communities that would appeal to it. I mean, I could use those kinds of tools, but the writing aspect, I rather sit down and, you know, take the time that it takes to get those masterpieces out. And we have great masterpieces because of that process. You know, you lock yourself up in a room for a couple of months. Yeah, you'll have to have like a benefactor or someone around to do that. And this is why I always say that the arts are so important to continue to fund and to continue to explore, because in some cases, for some people, that process works. For others, okay, AI helps along. I mean, to each their own. But they're the purists among me, amongst us, that would say, you know, doing it that way would bring out more of a connectivity to humankind, you know?
Yeah, but if you're doing it that way, you have to have a bread and butter income, especially, I mean, the average person has a family and stuff like that.
Very true, I didn't
have any kids or anything like that. And I stayed home to be closer to my parents because they were old when they had me. And I found that it worked both ways. There were pros and cons. So I could have afforded to do certain things that other people can't do, you know? But if it is you want a family, you may have to teach if you want to be a writer. Because people tell you, writing, you know, there's no, especially with AI phasing out writers. I don't think AI could phase out writers. I think that's a fallacy. Yeah? So if it is you're passionate, you're just out of school and you want to be an author, and you think an author, being an author, is going to make you tons of money. That is not the reality in for many people.
And I guess that's where entrepreneurship comes in as well.
Yeah, exactly. You have to do other things, whether it's events or workshops or teaching or stuff like that.
And in terms of your workshops, what are some of the topics that you tackle within your workshops?
Well, I took a break for a little while. I'm starting, Mac. I'm into so many topics. I'm working on one that's carded for July. It will be leaving your comfort zone and stepping into the future. So I can explain the philosophy behind it. Because I'm still typing up the title and stuff like that. It's quite very new. It's just last week I came up with it. So basically, it's for people who are in the workforce still, and they have gotten sort of stagnated. They hit a plateau, and they're tired of doing the same things over and over and over, and not finding any joy or satisfaction from it. So this workshop will give you practical steps to get out from that plateau and find innovative ways to make your job exciting again, or transition out of it completely, like how I did.
Do you think that you would ever go back to the 9-to-5?
No, I thought about it hard, long and hard recently, and I don't think I can do that again.
No. Yeah, once you taste the, I don't have to go to work for a particular time kind of zone, it's kind of difficult. Yeah, I got you. And for future projects, future books, you said that you have a couple on the table. Would you think of, like, visiting schools and so on? Do you do that?
Yes, I can do that. Yeah, I used to do that in Tobago for my job, actually. Okay. And I talk about passion and purpose and finding the purpose, your true purpose, because everybody was born with a particular skill or talent, and that talent can be translated into various methods for you to bring income to yourself and also benefit society. So that is one of my mantras. That I put forth through in almost all my writing.
All right. And for the young ones listening who would still, you know, want to cross that threshold and do become writers, what's the best advice you can give them?
The best advice is to find your niche, find that genre that really makes your heart sing, that people stand back and say, wow, this girl or this boy has this amazing gift, and, you know, they want to be part of it. Once you find what you're really good at, you know, the sky's the limit. You stick to that till the end, and don't let anybody tell you anything differently.
Well, Miss Karaya, thank you so much for coming in and talking to us today. Yeah, and when the next collection of poems, short stories are done, you know exactly where to come.
Yes, of course. Thank you so much, Tasker. It was a pleasure.
Take care.
You're tuned into the all-new Freedom 106.5. 106.5.